From Community Public Radio, this is the CPR News. From New York, I'm Don DeBar. Today, the 28th installment of our conversation with Professor Luciana Bone about the history of the USSR, and our fourth and final item on our conversation's agenda set a few weeks back about Trotsky's role in the politics of the Russian Revolution. Luciana, welcome.
Thank you very much. I'm happy to be here this morning.
So we get to put
Mr.
Trotsky. Here too in New York. I know where you are too. Now, you know,
I'm in Pennsylvania. I'm on Lake Erie.
Yeah, you guys, I know my mom went to school in Buffalo. I know you guys get hit pretty bad. You know, I wish it were as easy to put Mr. Trotsky's impact on socialist and communist movements over the last century or so, to put that to bed as easily as we're going to put the discussion of his role in the Russian Revolution to bed, which I hope we're going to accomplish today. So let's jump in.
Yep. Very well. Well, I am going to jump in with a risk. Okay, I maintain, and I'm not the only one, of course, that Trotsky was unable to think like a Leninist. Thesis. Trotsky was unable to think like a Leninist. Mm. And sardonically, I say that's why he invented Trotskyism.
Right. You know, it's kind of like an infant that doesn't know anyone else's language, so they make up their own.
Yeah. But the reason why we must go through this conversation, you know, we must talk about it, because we live in a period of intense imperialism. So really, you cannot be a Marxist unless you are a Marxist-Leninist, because, of course, Lenin added to Marx the important thesis on imperialism.
Right.
So Marxist-Leninism is the ideology of the Soviet Union.
Right.
It is also the ideology of the of China.
Right.
Much as they deny it.
Well, not everybody denies it either. I mean, you know, it's a part of the history of the development of the ideology there for sure.
No, I'm sorry. I correct myself. Not that China denies it.
Right.
It's we Western leftists deny it.
Right.
Many of us. Now,
I would say many of them personally, but okay.
these pronouns become very confusing.
Yes, I know. They're very slippery. So go ahead. I'm sorry. I won't interrupt. Go ahead.
No. Very well. So I said that, you know, I'm just making assertions here and hope to back them up with evidence. So you cannot be a Marxist unless you are a Marxist-Leninist in times of imperialism. Now, it follows that if Trotskyism is not also Leninist, Trotsky maintains he's a Leninist. But okay, let's put that aside. Let's just look at how Trotskyism works. If it is not Leninist, then Trotskyists cannot be of assistance in a left opposition to imperialism. And really, you've seen this in the SWP, for example, lack of denunciation of the attack on Yugoslavia. Oh, you know, Milosevic was just a petty bourgeois, etc. So the analysis and critique of Trotskyism, therefore, becomes paramount on the ideological front for recruitment of opposition to imperialism. That's all we need to do.
I would say just in very simple in very simple terms, in deference to people like myself, what we're talking about in essence is Trotsky, say, putting more emphasis on the formality of an ideology and the rigidity of an ideology or a dogmatism, rather than looking at how a particular policy is going to advance the struggle against imperialism. Marxist-Leninism looks at imperialism as the, you know, global manifestation of class warfare, and consequently it is the main, the primary and fundamental struggle that has to be won, and absent winning that, the rest is rearranging the deck chairs on the Titanic. That's essentially
it, right? Exactly. So today's conversation focuses on Trotsky's role in the October Revolution, and it examines the myth and the reality of his involvement in this revolution. And along the way, we discover the errors in his thinking. I will rely a great deal on a Stalin essay of 1924 that's called Trotskyism or Leninism. We may not get to what is Trotskyism, exactly identifying the specifics like permanent revolution, until, unfortunately, perhaps the next conversation. But okay, so we focus on the role of Trotsky in the 1917 October Revolution. Now, according to Isaac Deutscher, who is the biographer, wrote the prophet books on Trotsky. According to Isaac Deutscher, only one person led the October insurrection, and that was Trotsky, not Lenin. I know.
All those statues, the statues around Lenin, wasn't that, so they called it Trotskygrad? That was, sorry, go ahead.
Yeah. Okay. Please, you're cracking me up.
I'm sorry, go ahead. Go ahead.
Trotskygrad. Okay. And Isaac Deutscher is an influential thinker on the Western left, so that's why we quote him. So it was Trotsky that led the October Revolution, not Lenin. Deutscher also adds that the Central Committee was ineffective, essentially a Trotsky claim. He endorses that. That means that the Bolshevik Party was ineffective in planning the revolution, that it was, as we will see, divided, etc. Now, we know from past conversations that Trotsky's always been at war with the Bolshevik Party, and that the last act was the August Bloc, which was really a determination to supplant, to destroy the Bolshevik Party by creating another one which combined all sorts of centrist elements anyway. Yeah. And by the way, Deutscher adds, that Stalin was not among the main actors. Now, Stalin was editor of Pravda at the time, and right. Pravda had a major role in mobilizing the masses.
Absolutely.
Yeah. The Central Committee and Pravda, with Stalin editor, played a key role in mobilizing the militant workers and soldiers. And Trotsky had nothing to do with that. In fact, just before the revolution, I get confused on the dates, but the Russian date would have been October 29th. The revolution took place, in our terms, in November what? It's those days, Julian. Okay, but anyway, just before the revolution took place, a military revolutionary committee was put together by the Central Committee to direct the insurrection. And notice the names on this revolutionary committee to direct insurrection. The names were Stalin, Sverdlov, Bubnov, Jasinski, and Yuritsky, no Trotsky. So he was not in charge of directing revolutionary insurrection.
And not only that, so we've discussed earlier, as the formulation of the idea, the processing of what had happened in 1905 and going forward to the early part of 1917, as Lenin came to the understanding that after you have this unrest in the streets and then a rebellion and perhaps an uprising, that to go to revolution, you had to have a military capacity and a military strategy, and that these had been lacking before, which is why it was necessary to fail. They began formulating such a thing, and Trotsky was actually operating and lobbying against that very thing. And so that's the reason that they won power, the reason the Bolsheviks won the day, is because they had in place, they had the weapons were in the hands of the workers, and the workers were operating on a military plan.
Yes, and they also got the military garrison of Petrograd on their side.
That's right, came over to their side, that's right.
By very patient and...
Yep, organizing.
Work. Now, we'll see, we'll get to that, I hope. But just to, to mention the claim, the ineffectiveness of the Bolshevik Party, I mean, the record speaks against this claim.
Right.
Between July 1915 and December 1916, the party had organized 480 strikes in Petrograd with 500,000 participants. On February 14th, 1916, the Bolshevik organized the stay-in strike at the Putilov Works with 30,000 participants. During January-February of 1917, the Bolsheviks led 575,000 strikers. They had organized at least 15 sub-district committees of the party.
Yeah.
So who had done this? Stalin, Kalinin, Molotov,
right,
while Trotsky was in New York contributing to Menshevik papers.
Right.
Do we need to define Menshevik?
I think we have done that, but let's give a very, very brief sketch of it. I mean, the word itself means minority. We're talking about going back to a Congress where the Bolsheviks...
Of 1903.
Right, and the Bolsheviks, this is where you first saw these two different trends developing in the Russian Social Democratic Party, whatever that was called, back, just prior to the 1905, uprising.
Right.
And Bolshevik meant majority, and Menshevik meant minority. The two trends, more or less. Go ahead.
Yeah, it's a little, well, let's just define, it's a little misleading because the minority and majority applied to the resolution
right.
in the party
That's right.
in 1903 over, what the heck was it?
I forget the question, but yes, that the majority was on that question and not in the membership in general.
That's
and,
right.
And
That's
as
right.
a matter of fact, the Bolsheviks were talking about the main question was over membership. In essence, the Bolsheviks wanted people
exactly.
who were dedicated
That's
revolutionaries,
right.
not just any guy that would join and pay the dues. And the Mensheviks
yes,
wanted the latter.
It was on the question of membership. That's right.
right. That's
and.
Right.
And the smallness of the party. Yes, it was on the question of membership that the Bolshevik were in majority and the Menshevik were in
right.
minority,
that's
correct?
Right. That's
correct?
Yep, that's right. Yep.
Okay, but basically the Mensheviks stuck to the stages of revolution. They thought that the proletarian revolution would have to follow the bourgeois period. And so they turned into, by and by, into social democrats.
Right.
That is, time is not ripe to, and they sided with the Kerensky government.
Right.
Which was their death choice. So is it clear? I mean, we must think of them as social democrats.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, so
yeah.
Okay, he was contributing to what eventually, became the ideology of the Social Democratic Party,
yeah.
As we know it in the West, of Social Democratic parties, as we know them in the West. They were reformers.
Right, that's exactly right. They were not revolutionaries, they were reformers. At best, that's just ideologically, because in practical terms, they were actual counter-revolutionaries on the question of some very essential things, like, for example, ideologically following this, the hard and fast rules of development, that revolution can only happen at this stage of development. It had to be an industrial proletariat that was, bringing about the revolution, and therefore an alliance with peasantry, as was done successfully in Russia, was an aberration. It was, counter-revolutionary, in essence, according to them. Consequently, we cannot ally with the peasantry, even though we can ally with the bourgeoisie. And consequently, you're dooming the revolution, because the reason that they were successful in Russia was because exactly of the alliance with the peasantry.
Well, yes, and that develops later on into the Chinese idea of socialism with the Chinese characteristics.
Yep.
Why? I mean, it isn't a fact that they eat dim sum or anything cultural Western like that. It's the in Russia, the majority of the population was peasant. Therefore, and this was not denied by Lenin, it was a sort of petty bourgeois revolution. Right. And that was the forces that could, those were the majority forces, the peasants. And the proletariat had to align itself and then lead it, which is...
Right, that's right.
Then cause the transformation, which in fact was done through economic means by Stalin. That is, the transformation of the peasantry into a proletariat class.
Right, by building an industrial base and employing the efforts and labor of the now former peasantry in that effort, which is what they did in China. They turned the largest peasantry in the world into the largest industrial proletariat in two generations.
Amazing. So that was, socialism with Russian characteristics.
Right, that's right. That's exactly right.
Okay, so the Mensheviks. Yes, exactly. Reformers, not revolutionaries, is the essential point. And the question of the peasantry with the Menshevik that you just mentioned, Trotsky shared that. It is said that he did not reject the idea that the peasantry had played a great role in the revolution, but that he underrated it. Well, that's underrated it. It was crucial.
Right.
You can't underrate a crucial thing. At any rate. So these are the Menshevik. So, having quoted Deutsche, we noticed that we have two Trotskyist legends. One, that Trotsky played a special role in the October uprising, to the extent that Deutsche called him a leader. And two, that the Bolshevik Party was ineffective. Now, but the question we have to answer is, why do we have these legends? What is the purpose of this legend? For what purpose were these legends invented or passed around? Right. And I would say it was to replace Leninism with Trotskyism. That's why we need to know what the points of difference were between Leninism and Trotskyism, no matter how much Trotsky maintains that he was the true inheritor of Lenin. But if Trotsky was a Leninist, why do we have two names for the same political formation?
Right.
We don't need Trotskyism if he was a Leninist.
Right.
So in 1924, we know is a key year because Lenin died.
Right.
And at this point, and Trotsky had been pretty calm during the Lenin period, pretty calm, relatively low-key. But he apparently began to agitate. He was the leader of the left opposition within the Bolshevik Party.
Right.
And in 1924, Stalin addressed this question in a speech with the title of Trotskyism or Leninism, because there was an agitation by Trotsky, to consider himself the inheritor of Lenin, but there was a movement developing, it was called Trotskyism. So he begins by asking, did, in fact, Trotsky play a special role in the October Revolution? And he answered, not particularly.
Right.
In February 1917, we remember, Trotsky was living in New York. He arrived in Russia in May and joined a faction between the Mensheviks and the Bolsheviks. So what was this faction? In a letter to Inessa Armand, Lenin's family close friend, Lenin wrote in May, quote, Trotsky has arrived, and this scoundrel at once has arrived to an understanding with the right wing of the Novy Mir against the left, Zerwindler. And this was over the question of war and peace, but we don't need to go there. To find out. Anyway, he with the right wing of some war and peace party. That is, with this is just like Trot, he says. He's always equal to himself. Twists, swindles, poses as left, helps the right. This is Lenin in May 1917.
Right.
Now, Trotsky was allowed in the party in July by the Sixth Party Congress, and we might say, why? Well, many, many others from these in-between groups and even from the Mensheviks, many, many were admitted into the Bolshevik Party. And he was made chairman of the Petrograd Soviet. But at this late date, he could only carry out the words and programs that had been planned by the party since February, but increasingly in July, August, we'll see there are three periods. So in 1924, Stalin assumes this question. All right, Trotskyism or Leninism? So he looks into Trotsky's special role in the October Uprising, and he says, and I'm sorry, but I'll be quoting a great deal. He says, let us now pass to the legend about Trotsky's special role in the October Uprising. This is 1924. The Trotskyites are vigorously spreading rumors that Trotsky inspired and was the sole leader of the October Uprising, Stalin says. And he adds, I am far from denying Trotsky's undoubtedly important role in the uprising. And later on he says he fought well, etc. I must say, however, that Trotsky did not play any special role in the October Uprising, nor could he do so. Being chairman of the Petrograd Soviet, he merely carried out the will of the appropriate party bodies, which directed every step that Trotsky took. The Central Committee. For example, Stalin says, let us examine the minutes of the meeting of the Central Committee, the one held on October 16, 29, in our time, 1917. The question of the uprising was discussed from the purely practical organizational aspect. Lenin's resolution on the uprising, we need to take state power, was adopted by a majority of 20 against 2. The two would be Kamenev and, what's the other one, Zinoviev. And 3 abstained. A practical center was elected for the organizational leadership, the resolution on the uprising. He had to convince them that this was a time for many reasons to take power. So a practical center was elected for the organizational leadership of the uprising. And as I mentioned before, and Stalin says and emphasizes, who was elected to the center?
Sverdlov, Stalin, Dzerzhinsky, Bubnov, and Uritsky. Yep.
That's right.
Lenin's people.
Okay, that's right, Lenin's people. The functions of the practical center were to direct all the practical organs of the uprising in conformity with the directives of the Central Committee. Thus, as you see, Trotsky was not elected to the practical center, which was called upon to direct the uprising. How is this to be reconciled with the current opinion, 1924, about Trotsky's special role? Is not all this somewhat strange, as Trotskyites would say? And yet, sorry.
That's okay.
And yet, strictly speaking, there is nothing strange about it, for neither in the party nor in the October uprising did Trotsky play any special role, nor could he do so, for he was a relatively new man in our party, that is, in the period of October. He, like all the responsible workers, merely carried out the will of the Central Committee and of its organs.
Right.
Now, this does not mean that the October uprising did not have its inspirer.
Right.
It did have its inspirer and leader.
Yeah.
But this was Lenin.
That's right.
It is foolish and ridiculous to attempt now, by gossip about Lenin having been in hiding, to obscure the indubitable fact that the inspirer of the uprising was the leader of the party, V.I. Lenin.
Yep. Yeah. And Stalin says such are the facts. You know, if you take a real quick summary of the history also... you know,
yes.
You're at the early stage. Okay, what form is the party going to take? This is 1903 and subsequent to that. On the one hand, we're going to consist of dedicated revolutionaries who will work and study and gain experience in the development of and conduct of revolution together, who are also to be very closely allied with the Soviets and with the workers in every workers' organization. On the other hand, let everybody in, the more the merrier, that latter being Trotsky. That was the break back 1903, 1904, 1905. Come forward, how are we going to build a mass movement? Well, it should be with the workers and the peasants and the disaffected sectors of the military. That's Lenin. Trotsky, well, we have to wait for the development of the industrial proletariat so it can take its leadership, and we can ally temporarily with the bourgeoisie because that's the next stage in development from feudal relations to capitalist relations to socialism. So, in other words, each and every phase, because now we're at the stage after the revolution, we're on the, you know, on the precipice of losing Lenin, where do we go forward? And Stalin is already complaining about the Trotsky is already complaining about the fact that the party, this professional group of revolutionaries that brought us to this point, you know, that they still have power rather than being distributed to the bourgeoisie, in essence, because that's who he wanted to ally with. Every stage that some crisis occurs or the setting of the stage for the next period develops, Trotsky is arguing the other side.
Mm-hmm. That's why we must consider that Trotsky was not a Leninist.
Mm.
And if we think that Lenin was the soul of the leader of the revolution, then, yeah.
Right.
Then if we're going to have another revolution, we can't depend on Trotsky.
That's exactly right. And we got to stop there. And we'll pick it up. I guess we're going to have to carry this into one more week. So, Luciana, thank you very much. I'm surprised and glad that we got this far this week. And we'll talk again next week.
Thank you so much, Don. I enjoyed it.
Me too. Thanks. And that's all the news we have for you right now. For Community Public Radio, I'm Don DeBar in New York. Thanks for listening.